Hear now the word of God found in 1 Kings chapter 17. Beginning at verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, please turn it up a little bit. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. So I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God liveth, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I have gathered a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar run out of oil until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she said, and he and her household ate for many days. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor the joy of all run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by Elijah. Amen. Why the Lord requires sacrifice. Why the Lord requires sacrifice. Here in this text, you have several people. You have Ahab. You have Elijah. You have a no-name, poor woman with a son. It's a bad economic time. It's not just a recession, it's a depression. There's conflict between King Ahab and his wife Jezebel and Elijah. Elijah, speaking for God, says to Ahab, "God's had enough of you. It shall not rain again until my word says so from God. And so there's a famine in the land. There's no SSI available. There's no unemployment available. They voted out unemployment. There's no public assistance in the land. There's a famine in the land. And this poor woman represents millions who are starving with their unemployed son. And Elijah, the prophet of God, comes to speak at a time like this the good news of the gospel. And he comes and he says to the king, there shall be no rain, but God provides for the prophet. He says, go, even though there's no public assistance, go to the brook called Cherith. And I've allowed the water there every day. You'll have water to drink. And I fixed it so the ravens will feed you every single day. Anybody know something about making it on leftovers? Don't have no job. Don't have any money. But somehow the Lord leads you and I to the brook called Cherith. And we may not have any steak, but we have some pinto beans. Lord knows if it was not for rice or potatoes. We sing, never would have made it. We're talking about God, but we never would have made it without chicken and rice and potatoes. How many know the Lord supplies? They sing that song, I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. How many of you can say that's more than a song? That's a part of my testimony. The Lord led him to this brook. Brook with water. You know, we live in a time now, many of us can't even drink tap water no more. And some of y'all sitting out there, what's that expensive water? Yeah, I don't drink that. Unless I'm at your house. But it was good water. He let him down to this brook called Cherith. And he survived for, Bible doesn't tell you how long, but how many know sometimes, even when you got it good, some of y'all looking out there like y'all look like you got it good now. You got a good job, good man, a good woman, you're in good health, your kids not acting crazy, your kids got a job of their own, they can give you a birthday present or a Christmas present that they actually paid for. You got it good. You look at somebody say, I'm living by the brook right now. Sooner or later, that brook will dry up. Do I have a witness in the house? And we have a tendency to think that the reason that we have a tendency to give all the focus on that job that we had. We have a tendency to think, well, you know, I finally got this job, and you know, the reason I'm able to make it and have this nice car, and the reason I'm able to get my nails done and my hair done, the reason I'm able to do all of this is because of my job. Look at somebody and say, sooner or later, that brook is going to dry up. You got to look beyond the brook. You got to look to the source of the brook. Do I have a witness in the house? It's God that kept you. It's God that made a way for you. So don't get so sophisticated and focus only on your little job. Because one of these days that brook, and the way they're talking these days, they're talking down there in Washington. You know, sometimes we think that Social Security, like, that Social Security will never dry up. That's not the way they talk. And if it don't dry up, it ain't going to be enough to survive them. But look at the source. God. And God says, don't get so messed up when your brook dries up. How many know that every now and then God will change the means by which you survive? And you so caught up in, you know, that I got my 4K, what is it, 401K or whatever it is. But every now and then, God will open up another door. Every now and then, he said, listen, I'm not feeding you by the brook no more. I want you to go to Zarephath. And don't get it all twisted thinking that God can only bless you in one way. How many of you know God can bless you in another way? And you and I have to be able to recognize when God's done changed stuff. And you still focusing on yesterday's blessing down at Zarephath, and God's done move you up to Zarephath. God has, look at somebody and say, if you don't remember nothing else, just remember this. God has more than one way to supply your needs. You just so in love with old Mustafa. He gone on with somebody else. You still looking back at yesterday. You better start looking towards Zarephath. God has got somebody else out there for you. I'm talking to somebody in here. God has got another way. God has got another avenue, another means to open up his supply for you. God has got something waiting for you down the road in Zarephath. But you got to get up off of your rusty dusty and stop focusing on Cherith and move out to Zarephath. Do I have a witness in the house? I'm talking to somebody. And then, when your brook dries up, you know, your brook can be more than economics. Let me see. Somebody don't get that yet. Some of you got money, but your brook is still dry. In fact, some of it, the brook is not just dry, it's a desert. But I got some good news for you. God is able. And don't worry about the means. Just trust God who supplies the means. Trust God that knows what you need better than you know yourself. Trust God that he's an on-time God. Sometimes he's delayed, but he's an on-time God. Do I have a witness in the house? He's able to supply. It's the means of God's supply will change. Looking at that text there, it says that then the Lord, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath. He says, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. How many know sometimes we're just hard headed? God's talking to us, we just don't want to hear. Whole lot of people right here in Hackensack right now. Seem like stuff has changed, Dabble. Folk used to leave from South Carolina coming to New Jersey. When I was a boy, this was Zarephath. South Carolina was Cherith. But now, God's done changed stuff. Seems to me that Charlotte and Delaware, Sister Hunt, wherever you are, and some of those other places down there, Atlanta, they have become modern day Zarephath. And some of us, we the good old time folk, I shall not be moved. I'm staying right here to Shiloh Cub, right here in Cherith. I'm going to wait. My brook's dried up, but I ain't going. No, I ain't got the cash, and I'm too scared to hitchhike
down to Zarephath. But every now and then, God changes stuff. And you and I have got to be willing to break loose from our chariot.
Sometimes we break loose from chariot and we keep going back. Rev, I'm just lonely. Beating you upside the head, but I got a man. I can change her. Zarephath says, go down. God spoke to Elijah and said, you hung around Cherith long enough. The brooks ran out. It's dry. I've been feeding you by a raven, bread, and I ain't feeding you that way no more because you got to leave and go over to Zarephath. And when you get there, you're going to meet a woman, a poor woman, a widow with a boy. And you go and you talk to her. And so Elijah went and he did exactly what he said and told the woman, says, before you do anything, cook a little something and bring me something first. How many of you can think that the preacher showed up at your house and you starving? When your boy is starving. Let's say, I just show up. I got my robe on too, no t-shirt. Sometimes you really want to look holy. So I got my nice robe on that I'll never wear. But if I'm starving and I show up at the poor widow's house and I say, God told me to come by here. And he told me that, you're going to feed me. And she said, well, I ain't got much. And this is Jackson speaking out of the Bible and say this. Maybe she said, I ain't got much, but, I'll be willing to share with you what I got. Just a little oil, a little water, a little bread, whatever. But then he went and messed it up. Because he said, no, bring me something first. Mildred? Give me the pinto beans first. Give me the grits and potatoes first. How many know that sometimes God, whether it's for me or the preacher or not, God requires to be first. You don't have to like it, but God, before you spend all your money on your clothes and your nails and your shoes, you preaching Jackson. Requires us first. I love you, Lord, but I don't want to give you your honor first. I really going to give it to Macy's first, and I'm going to give you what's left over. No. God says, bring it to me first. We need to get our priorities straight. Now, how we live in this land now. After the woman did what God told her to do and brought Elijah the food first, the text says that the oil was there every day. The bread was there every day. Now, in our minds, we think, if the Lord gave him bread and oil, it must have been a lot of wind. He must have gave him bread. He must have gave pressed down and shaken together. He must have had a Wegmans for them. He must have had a ShopRite for them.
That's not what the text says. He says, God just gave them enough. You don't have to have 35 steaks in the refrigerator. Just one or two. As long as he supplies it every day. Just, you don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to have a plush palace. You can live in the projects and still be happy. What about the fact that we make a conscious decision to put God first and to make decisions based upon our relationship to God to say, I can't afford this, right? I can't afford a Genesis. I need to have a Toyota. I can't afford, if it means I can't tithe, maybe I have to get my nails done every now and then. Oh, Lord. If it means I can't tithe, maybe I don't need another new pair of shoes that's killing my feet. Maybe I need to downsize from my house that my kids are not coming home to stay anyhow.
Yeah. I'm saving the room for my grandkids. Please.
Maybe we ought to start making some decisions based upon God being the priority and not our comfort.
Maybe we ought to trust God to supply our needs rather than trusting this guy, this gal, this pension plan. Sometimes I talk to my financial advisor and he tells me, like, you know, Pastor, you know, you got to save more. You know, if you want to live in this lifestyle, you ain't gonna make it on the little bit you're putting away. And you know what I tell him? I said, listen, I got to live today. All right. And I trust God to provide for my needs down the road. I trust God that he will open up a door. I trust God that he will provide for my basic needs. I thank God for what I have right now. And I know that I'm more blessed than my mother and grandmother was. And they made it.
Now listen, I'm not trying to encourage anybody to be stupid. I'm not, you know, don't get it twisted. You are going to get old.
That's right.
If you don't die. And you're going to need a 401, a 403B, or whatever, you know. These companies, they ain't doing what they used to do. Do I have a witness in the house? They don't have no... You know, and even the government in New Jersey used to be like, you didn't make no money when you worked for the state, but you had a good insurance plan. You had a decent retirement plan. Now, you don't make no money and you don't have no pension. Now, I want you to trust God, but I don't want you to be stupid. Ultimately, what I want you to get is that your supply is not in your job. Your supply is in your God. Your job is just a means, but your source is your God. So don't get all caught up in your office. Lord knows I got a beautiful office. I love my office. But how many of you know it can't feed me? Just to go up and say, oh, you know, you got a nice painting on the wall. But I have to look beyond that. I got to look beyond Mount Olive. I got to look beyond my family. I got to look back to the source. I'm about finished. Every leader worth his or her salt. If you lead anybody, sooner or later, you got to make an ask. You got to ask something. Do I have a witness in here? Any Boy Scout leaders in here? Any girl? Every leader, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you're leading. Every leader, sooner or later, has got to make an ask. You got to ask people to sacrifice. And they're not going to go, oh, yeah, just let me sacrifice. Oh, yeah, let me run. No, you got to stand up and look them right in the face and say, hey.
All right, man.
Jesus says, deny yourself. Go over there in Mark's gospel. I think it's chapter 8, verse 33, 34, something like that. Mark chapter 8. Jesus says, when he called the people to himself and his disciples, he said, whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. He doesn't hide it somewhere in the background. He puts it up in big, bold letters. You want to be my disciples? You want to follow me? Deny yourself. And follow me. Whosoever shall desire to save his life will lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake. A whole lot of people lose their life, but it ain't for his sake. The gospel will save you. Every leader said, hey, I got to make an ask. So here I am today, a homecoming. I got to make an ask. Here's the ask. Will you be a servant? Will you serve him? Do you have a ministry? I know we've been talking about it. Serving. Working or serving with a servant's heart. Are you just window dressing in the church? Or have you found something to give your life to get a cause and a purpose for your life beyond just looking good? Preach, Jackson. Here's the ask. You serve. Here's the next one. First ask is every Christian ought to be asked to serve. Second one is every Christian ought to be asked to give. To give. To give of your substance, to give of your money, to give of your time, to give of your talents. We got too many church folk who have not denied themselves. I ain't got money. I don't have no money. You never have any money unless we change the way we spend. Buster Soares is having a workshop in November. Get the exact date. Send that magazine there. And I talked to him yesterday. He's given us free this workshop. Anybody in here in bad debt, you'll never be able to tithe until you figure out how to stop getting in there. Do I have a witness? And the church ought to open up a door to help you get out of debt. That book, Busters, I told you I read it 2 or 3 summers ago, and I got out of debt. Debt free. What is it? Debt free. Buster Soares. When I say I got out of debt, that doesn't include mortgage. I'm talking about all that other stuff. send you down to New Brunswick to Buster's Workshop free. But then it won't help you if you don't apply it. And it won't help you if you're going to be stingy with God. One of the things that that woman did, she was obedient. She gave God's prophet first. Then she didn't get rich after that. We all wonder, well, if I'm going to do this, what God going to do for me? He going to pay my mortgage off next week. No. He's going to give you enough to pay your monthly bills every month. And when he finished paying those monthly bills in these high Bergen County taxes, somebody else say, thank you, Jesus. I got one more month behind me. I'm waiting for the time when I can look at my mortgage payment and I can really see a difference in the month. Most of it, I don't know how long we've been in that house, but it's still mostly interest. You talking about y'all been waiting for me to shout, and I tell you I was going to shout when my kids graduated from college. Wait till I get to the point where I got more going to principal than interest. I feel it in my bones right now. Don't wait till the battle is over. God says to the woman, you're not going to have no big windfall because you did what I asked you to do. But you will have enough for your daily needs. You might not have all of that fat food that we get. The other thing, too, that I've learned, how many of you know, it's expensive to eat right. Lord. Sometimes my wife, she wants to go to Whole Food all the time. I said, what about ShopRite? What about SeaTown? I mean, that Whole Food stuff. God did not promise he was going to supply us a whole food diet. We got to figure out how to make it. He didn't promise you're going to have Starbucks coffee all the time. Maybe McDonald's, that dollar cup. Oh, even though I like 7-Eleven. God will promise to supply our needs. And the ultimate need that we have. All of us are pretty much like that woman. We are dying. We may not be starving like she was, but we are dying. And we need the presence of Christ at the point of our needs. We need to hear a word from the prophet of God here at Mount Olive or whatever church we belong to that God will supply. We need to drag ourselves in here. It's wonderful to hear songs, but every now and then we just need to hear a word from the Lord to remind us that I got your back. I have not forgotten you. I'm well aware of your situation. I am able to change your situation from Cherith to Zarephath. You just follow my word. And be obedient. And if you are obedient, how many know God can bless us quietly?
You don't have to hit the lotto. You don't have to go out there. Now they got all these lottos. $2,500 a week. $1,000 a week. I know some of y'all sitting out there saying, how you know? I know. $500 a week. You can get, you know, then some of you got these mega millions, like $2,500 ain't enough for me. I need to hit big. $35 million. Well, I'm looking at y'all. Some of you might have hit something, but it's not reflected in your tithes. I don't know what you hit, but I haven't seen no mega windfall. Now I'm going to tell you, if you hit it big, we're going to sanctify it. In Jesus' name. But God is not going to bless us. Don't be praying for that mess. Just pray for God to give you enough day by day. You already hit the lottery. You got life. You got health. You got a brain. You got skills. You have peace. You have joy. You hit the lottery a long time ago. You just don't know it yet. Give him some praise in here. That he makes a way out of no way. Hallelujah. This woman, a whole lot of mothers in here who came up the rough side of the mountain. Sometimes the husbands left, sometimes there was no husband, sometimes the husband died, and vice versa. Sometimes brothers in here been paying support for 20 years. You get mad every time you hear the word support. Life is a mixture. It's not one-sided. It's a mixed bag. But just recognize your source. And your source and my source is God. He promised to forsake us. He changes upon us and moves us from Cherith to Zarephath. And if you hang around too long down there at Cherith, you'll miss your blessing. You'll miss your blessing. You'll miss your blessing. Blesses you.